I caught a post about a video segment on X where Professor Steve Keen was talking about the risk of a global die-off based on the destruction of food infrastructure. And I swear, I'm like, is this dude, like, did he just read my article? Because he is saying exactly what I have laid out with receipts and with research. I mean, he's quoting the Haber-Bosch process. You know, he's talking about how there will have to be equilibrium reached between the available food infrastructure. He's talking about how the available food infrastructure, as it contracts, the global population that can be supported will also sharply contract. And I was thinking, man, this is really something. Now, just to be clear, I'm not accusing Professor Steve Keen of plagiarizing my content. What I'm pointing out here is something even more interesting, which is that he and I, who have never spoken before, by the way, we have arrived at the exact same conclusion independently. And he's a famous economist, you know, and I'm a food science guy, and we both followed the same logic, the same evidence. And also, you know, with my friend Michael Yan, who has been warning about famine for a very long time. And of course, I interview Michael Yan on a regular basis. But we arrived at the exact same conclusion completely independently. So it's actually, I encourage you to listen to Steve Keen explain this, because it's good to hear what I've said explained by another person in a slightly different way. But very much the same, you know, the same numbers, same conclusion. Steve Keen says that 2 billion people are at risk of famine on our planet. And I was talking about very much the same concept, except I did the math and I came to the conclusion that it's really about 5% of the global population that is at risk, which is about 400 million people. So my number is actually smaller than his, but that's because I did a lot of research about the actual percentage of global fertilizer that comes out of the Persian Gulf. And when you do the research on that, you find out that it's really only about 10% of the global fertilizer comes out of the Persian Gulf, even though it's more than 30% of the traded fertilizer. So that's what sometimes confuses people. It's 30% of the fertilizer that is bought and sold, but it's only 10% of the fertilizer that's produced globally, because many countries produce and consume their own fertilizer domestically, such as, well, you know, Russia, for example, and to some extent, the US, China, Canada, etc. So 10%. So what is, well, and then the Haber-Bosch process, understand, feeds about half the world's population. So that's 4 billion people. So what is 10% of 4 billion? That is 400 million people. So that's why I'm saying 400 million, which is about 5% of the total global population of 8 billion, 400 million is the accurate number, at least in my research, of how many people are at risk of famine due to this ongoing closure of the Strait of Hormuz. It's 400 million. But I also want to be clear that it's not just an actual list of 400 million people who will just drop over dead tomorrow, because that's not the way food distribution actually works in the real world. So as I said in my podcast, it's 400 million human equivalent units per day who are not getting food in 2027 and 2028 because of the long delay time from fertilizer. And I didn't hear Professor Keen describe it in that way. I think my research has gone, you know, maybe I dug a little bit deeper into the numbers on that. But the overall emphasis of what Steve Keen is saying is very much aligned with what I'm saying. We have slightly different numbers of who's impacted or how many are impacted. But the truth is, for every day that the Strait is closed down, there are essentially 400 million equivalent human units of people who do not have food. Not today, though. I'm talking about 2027. That's what's critical to understand. Now, as I also explained, there will be some redistribution of food. There will be some substitutions. You know, there can be a lot of efforts, where one person who's starving in a city, you know, other people around that person are sharing food. I mean, this is how it's actually going to happen. There will be more redistribution. So the pressure of food scarcity will be shared by everyone in a nation like Bangladesh, or almost everyone, certainly the lower income class people, the poor and the middle class people will all suffer some exposure to food scarcity, whereas the wealthy will be able to just buy their way out of it by paying, you know, any price for food. But that's not most people. Most people are not going to be able to buy their way out of this. And so people will starve. So anyway, Professor Steve Keen is an interesting person. I think he's right on about most issues when it comes to economics, fiscal policy, currency, and so on, and debt. He talks a lot about debt markets, at least in the interviews I've seen. But he still believes in climate change. And I've always been struck by the fact that there are very smart, well-informed people who still think that carbon dioxide is bad for planet Earth somehow, because it doesn't make any rational sense at all. Although we've seen this again and again. And, you know, Professor Keen is convinced that climate change is going to be catastrophic and, you know, all the typical climate alarmism propaganda. He believes all that stuff. And I guess I have to give him a pass on that because he's an economist and he's not a chemist. He doesn't know about atmospheric chemistry, and he doesn't probably understand, you know, photosynthesis and where food comes from, because that's not his focus. But that's my focus. I mean, I'm a food scientist, and that's why I've been talking about the total hoax of climate change for many, many years. And for me, that's a litmus test of intelligence. If somebody thinks that carbon dioxide is bad for Earth, then I can never consider them to be very smart. Because if you can't understand the fundamental concept of CO2 as one of the key inputs for photosynthesis, then, you know, come on, you're just not that bright. And there's a lot of experts in many areas. There's physicists who believe in climate change, you know. There's economists. There are, you know, lots of doctors and surgeons, you know, like actual brain surgeons who believe in climate change. And it's because they are indoctrinated and they don't exercise any kind of critical, rational thinking. Nevertheless, not everybody is up to speed on every area of knowledge, it turns out. And I don't claim to know everything either, but I think I understand the broad strokes of these really critical issues, you know, energy versus climate, etc. You know, photosynthesis, agriculture, crop production, plants, you know, nutritional density, which is actually improved by higher levels of CO2 in the atmosphere, things like that. But I don't know everything either. So it's important that you and I learn from people in their areas of expertise. You know, we can learn something from lots of people, even if they don't have a complete big picture of everything that's going on. It's fine. It's okay. Everybody doesn't have to know everything, right? So we can still learn from people. So with that said, definitely check out other experts who are talking about famine. And I'm going to be interviewing Michael Yan coming up. And he's also another one who has traveled the world. He's witnessed this firsthand. He knows what's happening. And he's a very valued voice in this space. And I've learned a lot from Michael Yan as well. And there's Matt Bracken. I've got Matt Bracken coming up for an interview as well. You know, former Navy SEAL, who is an excellent researcher, writer, author of many books. So I'll try to bring you the best information I can. And I'll work to connect you with as many experts as I can. And we'll just take it from there. In the meantime, because of what's happening with energy and with food, you should get as self-reliant as possible. You should think about erecting solar installations so you can charge your own car. with sunlight, no joke. And you're gonna need a quite a lot of solar panels to do that. Probably gonna need about a minimum of 10 to 12 300 watt panels in order to keep your car charged. You know, just saying. It's not like I'm gonna put out one panel and charge my car. It doesn't work that way. It's not enough juice. So you're gonna need more panels, and you know you might have to go out and buy a Tesla or some other EV that you want. Hyundai makes EVs. I think even Chevy is bringing some back. Ford makes EVs, but they suck. I wouldn't recommend anything from Ford. You know, get more self-reliant, grow more of your own food, plant your own herbs, make your own medicine. You know, obviously, get more self-reliant because of what's coming. And if you want stored food that's lab tested and certified organic, you know, because I run a mass spec laboratory and we test for, you know, glyphosate and heavy metals and now dioxins and atrazine on some foods, certain crops and so on. You can buy ultra clean food from us packaged for long-term storage at healthrangerstore.com. And if you want other equipment such as solar generators or satellite phones, then our sponsor is the Satellite Phone Store at sat123.com. That's sat123.com. So check them out if they can help you. So thank you for listening, and you can catch more of my podcasts at brightvideos.com, and my articles are found at naturalnews.com. All right, everybody, be well and take care.
Stock up on the long-term storable Ranger Bucket Set. 536 servings of clean organic superfoods for your survival pantry. Certified organic and lab tested for purity. Order now at healthrangerstore.com.